This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A lot of daily life is conducted online. School, work, communication with friends and family, keeping up with the news, listening to music. One thing you might not think about, how quickly portions of the internet that we access are constantly disappearing or changing or becoming something completely new. Our next guests are working to preserve a lot of that information. They co-wrote a piece at The Conversation about internet data, web pages, and the effort to keep them around for posterity. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a web page or social media site that you used to use that no longer exists? Do you worry about websites or apps or social media sites that you currently use that could disappear in the future? And what do you do to try to keep safe your memories, pictures, conversations that you have online? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kayla Harris is a librarian, associate professor, and archivist for the Marion Library at the University of Dayton in Ohio. Her research interests include the importance of archiving material produced online. Kayla, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also with us, Stephanie Schreffler is librarian, archivist, and associate professor for the U.S. Catholic Special Collection at the University of Dayton. Stephanie, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Stephanie, I think for me and a lot of online users, this might be something we don't think of. The internet, we think, is going to be there forever. Can you talk about how much churn and loss there is online?
Yeah, so that's what you hear all the time, right? Be careful what you put on the internet because it'll be there forever. And that is not always the case. Anytime a website is updated, the page is overwritten, so previous versions of that page are lost. Or if a URL changes, that information could be lost. So there's a movement among archivists to work to help preserve that internet and make sure that it will be around for the historians of the future to research from.
And Kayla, that's where I want to pick up. Why do we worry if we're losing a lot of the stuff online? What do we lose when we lose it?
Well, the internet is a wild place. There is some content on there that maybe isn't worth saving. But as you mentioned kind of at the beginning, a lot of our daily lives now are conducted online. Things that we used to have in print, you know, newspapers, bulletins, that sort of thing that archivists and librarians would have preserved a physical copy of, now often those things are produced only online. So unless they're archived in the same way, then we'd lose that important information.
Well, it's Stephanie, I think about if you watch a Ken Burns Civil War documentary or read history from a lot of eras, you can work with a lot of people's letters and other primary documents of the sort Kayla just mentioned. I don't know if we have as many of those letters anymore. Are we going to be dependent for this online material to understand our current era when it becomes history?
Yeah, absolutely. The letters of today are emails and blog posts and social media posts. And, you know, I bet the people in the past probably also didn't think, oh, our materials are historical. Got to make sure we save those. But they were. And now we're so thankful to have them. And it will be the same thing with the internet and other electronic materials.
And Kayla, I was trying to think of something that I've used in the past. And what came to me was, you know, 20 years ago or so, I ran a fantasy football league and I made a website for it. And I did some poking around. I don't think I'll ever find that material again. Once something is gone, if it hasn't been archived, is it likely just gone forever?
Likely, yes. The upside to that is potentially it may have been archived without you even knowing it. So the Internet Archive, there are automatic crawlers, web crawlers, or bots that crawl portions of the internet automatically. And so even if, you know, you didn't personally archive that Fantasy Football League website, it may have been crawled. However, the internet is vast. And so there's no telling if it was crawled or how frequently it was crawled. So if something, you know, was updated or it was deleted, for example, before it was crawled, then that wouldn't be captured. So yeah, it really, it depends.
Well, let the record show that I was the champion 1 year. We're talking to Kayla Harris and Stephanie Schreffler from the University of Dayton in Ohio. We're talking about preserving the internet. A lot of bits and pieces of the internet or big chunks of it are lost or edited over or changed. And there's efforts ongoing to try to preserve them, maybe for future historians, maybe for journalists, maybe for our personal memories. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guests, your thoughts on this issue, and have you helped archive something yourself from the internet age? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Kayla, let's get into the how. And Stephanie just mentioned the Internet Archive. Can you talk about this big effort to keep chunks of the internet around even after they disappear from public view?
Internet Archive is really the name in web archiving, and they're celebrating their 25th anniversary this year of archiving the web, which is kind of a impressive feat to think about. And they have a tool called the Wayback Machine, which is how you can access these archived copies of websites, both that those web crawlers or bots have crawled, as well as websites that individuals have saved. So they have a tool on their website called Save Page Now. So if you are browsing a website and you see something important, you can save that individual page. Now, there's some caveats. It would say, for example, a website page as opposed to an entire website. So that would mean the difference between like saving a single news article versus archiving the entire New York Times. And there's also certain websites that for various reasons, the web designers choose not to allow their website to be crawled. But Save Page Now, there are billions of captures by individuals all over the world every day that archive web pages that way, website pages that way.
Stephanie, how important are everyday people to an effort like this? You two archive things on purpose with a goal in mind, but how much is the, I guess, citizen science of this making a difference?
Yeah, it's extremely important. Kayla and I are just two people, and of course, there are many other librarians and archivists working on this, but still, it's just a small number of people compared to the entire population and compared to the size of the internet and our knowledge base. We don't necessarily know what about all the topics that might be considered important or know about those websites. So having a broader population of people from across the country and from across the world to help save this content is really crucial. It's just because a few people can't do it by themselves.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Nikhil is with us in Milwaukee. Nikhil, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
Hey, so this is a very interesting topic. I was just thinking about that recently. Just way back when, from like college days, I had a blog that I maintained with a few kind of creative work, like prose and things like that. And I just thought about it recently, and I couldn't find that page. So what we're talking about seemed very interesting. But luckily, a few months later, I found another link for that same page, was able to locate it, and then I archived everything. But it was a big downer initially when I couldn't find that page.
Nikhil, how did your writing hold up? Was it worth going back and reading it?
I think some of them were still good. The rest of them, I was like, who is that person?
Nikhil, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Kayla, I wonder, there's probably a lot of people in Nikhil's situation where they had this thing that they did themselves or followed for a long time, can't find it anymore. Is there, I don't know, a standard operating procedure to try to track down that lost blog or whatever it might be on the internet?
Unfortunately, it's not easy. Part of the massiveness of the internet and archiving the internet is that it's not always curated or organized in an easily searchable way. So for example, the Wayback Machine, users can find a website using a URL. So you have to know a specific URL to be able to search. So for example, I ran into a similar issue where I was trying to find a live journal that I used to have during my study abroad experience. And I spent a lot of time going back on, you know, the live journal and trying to find these archived websites around the time frame, but I couldn't. I you know, knew kind of what I was looking for. So for the everyday person, it's really hard.
Thank you so much for that call, Nikhil. And I'm glad you found your lost work there. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. So, Stephanie, I know if somebody's doing a physical archive at a library or historical society, they don't just take anything. They have a curated collection where they're looking for specific kinds of stuff. And I know I think you and Kayla both do that at the University of Dayton. Can you talk about your collection and your focus when you're archiving the internet in your day job?
Yeah, so I am the archivist and librarian for the U.S. Catholic Special Collection at the University of Dayton, and that's a special collection that collects materials about the history and culture of Catholicism in the U.S. The University of Dayton is a Catholic university, so the materials I collect are focused on that topic. And for example, last spring when the pandemic started, I started a collection where I tried to archive different sites that would show the response of Catholics to the pandemic, capturing church announcements when they were closing down, diocesan announcements about the pandemic, personal reflections by Catholics about what the pandemic meant to their faith lives. So that's one example of what I have been capturing.
We're talking to Stephanie Schreffler and Kayla Harris, both librarians, associate professors, and archivists for the University of Dayton in Ohio. They're co-authors of an article for The Conversation about the Internet Archive and preserving the Internet. It turns out that things disappear or get written over or changed, and there's an effort to try to keep up and archive those things for the future. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry that with us doing so much stuff online and digitally, we won't have much to look back on in the future? Is there a website or social media site that you used to use that no longer exists? Is there something you created online that you can't find anymore? Have you used the Internet Archives app to save something online? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Stephanie Schreffler and Kayla Harris, both librarians, associate professors, and archivists for the University of Dayton in Ohio. They were co-authors of an article for The Conversation about the Internet Archive and efforts to preserve the Internet, which changes a lot over time. Things disappear, get edited, get bought out, and maybe canceled. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how we archive the internet or as much of it as we can? Do you worry about losing things? Have you lost something you either did or used to follow online that you'd love to find again? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Conrad is with us in Dubuque. Conrad, hi.
Yeah, I think it's been maybe not as common knowledge as it should be, but for a long time that the government, the NSA, I believe it is, primarily stores all electronic communications, voice communications, internet, email, everything.
Conrad, thanks for the call. My understanding was that the NSA stored metadata, who called who, not the actual recordings of the conversations. But Kayla, are you aware of any government-led effort to keep up archives? We're talking more about the websites than the emails and phone communications here.
So when governments transition, for example, that's when a lot of the websites get updated and changed. And so previously, there would kind of be these transitions that would happen and information would be taken down. But the Internet Archive and their partners with Archive It, they do archive websites of outgoing administration to make sure that that data isn't lost when we transition.
And Stephanie, you make a point in your article that the two of you co-wrote that There's another use for this. You can fact check claims about what was said on the internet if you have these archives, and you can kind of foil efforts. Say a wealthy person doesn't like what's on a website, so they could buy it and get rid of all that information by archiving it. We have at least some balance to that. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, so screenshots, if you try to just take a screenshot of a web page, that's fairly easy to doctor. You can change it pretty easily and make it say something that it didn't originally change, originally say. But when you have these official captures from the Internet Archive or another web archiving tool, that is seen as a better type of evidence because it's not something that can be changed so easily. So it's these captures from the Internet Archive have actually been used sometimes in court as evidence to help prove that, you know, this web page did say this at a certain amount of time.
And Kayla, we've talked a little bit about government websites. Now I'm thinking about news outlets. So you look back at old movies and you see the reporters going through their carefully maintained physical newspaper archives. Do news sites now do a good job of archiving their material from the past?
Not necessarily. There was a kind of concerning report that we mentioned in our article that was done by the Tau Center for Journalism at Columbia. And they were looking at the digital archiving practices of news sources. And unfortunately, that's just kind of a second thought. There's not a lot of, you know, not always the resources or the idea that, you know, I backed it up somewhere. So that's the equivalent to archiving it. And while that's a good start, having, you know, kind of multiple copies of things, that's not necessarily the same thing as having an archived version of news stories online. So yeah, it's definitely something to be concerned about when we rely on news sites as kind of our evidence, our, you know, potentially, you know, unbiased or the truth of the source. And so, yeah, knowing that those are available.
We're talking to Kayla Harris and Stephanie Schreffler from the University of Dayton in Ohio, talking about efforts to archive the internet, or at least lots of it. It's subject, of course, to change. Websites go away or get replaced or edited or written over. And they are part of an effort to keep a lot of that information around for the future. Still time for your calls if you have thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Stephanie, we've got this now 25-year-old internet archive. We've got lots of volunteers out there helping with that effort. But are there things you'd like to see done, kind of internet hygiene from, I don't know, service providers or website creators or I don't know who, to do a better job in the first place to keep these things around?
Well, I guess awareness is the first step, really. Once you realize that, oh, these pages aren't necessarily going to be around forever, then you can start taking those steps to solve that, even if it's as simple as saving the page with the Save Page Now feature at the Internet Archive. That's a pretty simple step that a lot of people and institutions should be able to take. For anything broader based, that is a difficult question. It's such a vast place, the internet. It's hard to think about what any sort of more formal program might look like, but it would be a good idea, I'm sure.
And Kayla, one effort you mentioned in your piece was the Library of Congress. They keep a lot of important information. They had a go at, I understand, preserving every tweet sent on Twitter. What ended up happening?
Well, they realized that the original intent of Twitter and the way it was kind of has been transformed as a tool. So, for example, they were only capturing the text of tweets, and now tweets are often used to share memes and GIFs and images. And so you're not even really getting the full context of what tweets are being shared. And they decided they changed their policy. So they kind of went back on what they said originally and said, we're not going to archive every single tweet. They're still archiving tweets that they find to be important. Former President Donald Trump's tweets, for example, were archived. There are other kind of trending topics that they archive, but not everything.
Stephanie, do you have recommendations for people with the personal stuff they have online at, say, various social media sites? Are there ways that we can curate ourselves and make sure that we have some kind of backup of the stuff we want to keep around?
Yeah, for social media, sometimes different sites offer you options to download your data to your own personal computer. So that's a way just to ensure that your profile wouldn't disappear entirely. If something happened and it was taken down, you would still have that record of your profile that you could try to recreate things. And then for things like photographs, there's a lot of backing up services out there like Google Photos or Apple iCloud or Amazon Photos. And really, if you can make multiple copies of things, that is good because maybe a service will go away at one point. So if you can have many copies of things, that'll help protect against one copy disappearing.
And we'll leave it there. Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And Kayla, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Stephanie Schreffler, librarian, archivist, and associate professor for the U.S. Catholic Special Collection at the University of Dayton in Ohio, and Kayla Harris, librarian, associate professor, and archivist for the Marion Library, also at the University of Dayton. They're co-authors on a piece. You can read it on The Conversation, if it's still there. I think it's still there. I don't think it had to go to the archives just yet, about the need to keep online information from disappearing. And they reference the Internet Archive, where you can play along at home and curate your own archives of the Internet.